I'd like to share with you the gospel lesson for today from Luke 13, 31 through 35. Luke 13, 31 through 35, if you'd follow along or just listen. And if you listen to these words for the word of the Lord. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here, because Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I am throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will complete my work.' However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often have I wanted to gather your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you did not want that. Look, your house is abandoned, but I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It seemed like forever, you know, when we were kids. When can we go swimming? When is it my birthday? Tomorrow seemed so far away. We are not good at waiting. Waiting to eat. Waiting for a weekend. Waiting for a trip or a birthday. Or waiting for a move. We have so many small gods. But it does seem that we have to worship something. We have to give our attention to something. We have to give our loyalty to something. You know, Adam and Eve, they, in the garden, those first humans, according to the stories in Genesis, they had the opportunity to worship God and put God first. And God told them exactly how to do that, and they couldn't do it. They put other things first. They put other things ahead of God. And so do we. And when we get right down to the definition, that is idolatry. That is putting something ahead of God or God's instruction to us. We have lots of small gods, things that we give honor to, things that we pay attention to. But if we don't give our ultimate attention and our ultimate worship to God, then we are committing idolatry. We have to have other loyalties, of course. We have to be loyal to our students or our teachers or our friends or our kids, our family. You know, we have loyalties. That's okay. It's okay to be loyal, but our ultimate loyalties have to be to God. And everything else kind of comes into perspective underneath that. As we figure out how to live out our lives with God as our first priority. Yeah, we have other loyalties, but the commandment says, "You shall not have any other gods before me." Perhaps we have other gods, small g gods. We have things that command our respect, that even command our loyalty. But we have to use our ultimate loyalty for God, capital G. I think Jesus knew that. And yet he knew his dilemma. As a person of earthly form and birth, but infilled or indwelled with God's very holiest Spirit, Jesus knew the struggles that we humans have. He had parents who wanted him to do certain things, and he didn't have any children, as far as the Scriptures tell us. But we do know that he had other people following him and in his care, and who needed his loyalty and support. But his ultimate priority was to his Father, God. And when Jesus went away, he went away to spend time with his Father. In this passage that we have today, Jesus talks about completing his work. He talks about what things will be like on today and tomorrow and the third day. I think that's a curious way to phrase that. Today, tomorrow, and the third day. You know, we have a point of reference for time in our humanness and in our, you know, world of physics. We have a point of reference. The times that we think of are yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, it's past, present, and future, right? That's how we are kind of structured in terms of our time and our presence. We have yesterday, which is memories. Some we cherish, some we regret. But there's not a thing that we can do to change any of them. So that's yesterday. We have today, which is really the only place where we can act. It's the only place where we can make a difference or change anything is right now, today. Once this moment is passed, it's history and you can't fix it. At least I haven't figured out a way. If you figure out something on that, please tell me. The present moment fleets by. That's why we say time is fleeting, because it passes us quickly. And if we don't use that moment for all that it was made to be or intended to be, then we have wasted it. But that moment is our present. And then we have the future. And really, the farther we look out into the future, the more stable it becomes. If we look at the next instant or the next moment or what's about to come toward us, a moving train, so to speak, there's not much time to adjust. The farther we plan out into the future, the better we can deal with it as it comes. But the future, unlike the past, the future is wide open. It is an empty canvas waiting to be painted. I find that powerful and fascinating to ponder those parts of time. We as human creatures are given this construct of time. You know, God is eternal. God operates outside of those boundaries of past, present, and future. But we are not that privileged. We are kind of stuck there in this life. And so it matters what we choose to do in this present moment, because it will change the past very soon. And it matters what comes toward us in the future, because we choose and make selections. We feel called and do things and challenge others and raise children and make plans in our work and our businesses. Those things all are about future, which very quickly is becoming the present and the past. But Jesus sat on this hillside and talked about the disciples. The disciples were impatient with him, and Herod was impatient as well, because Herod was threatened by Jesus' presence. And in fact, Jesus knew that Herod was wanting to kill him. And Jesus said, "Go tell that fox." I like that. It's kind of a... I like words that you can use that are not words that you can't use. A And I think that's what Jesus was using here. Go tell that fox, that wise head, that here I am casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I complete my work. Now let's look at what Jesus said. Today and tomorrow and the third day. That's not what we've been talking about. We've been talking about past, present, and future. Jesus now is talking about today, which is present, tomorrow, which is the future, and on the third day, which is further in the future. Wow! Jesus just redefined our entire concept of time. Today, tomorrow, and the third day, which I think is probably the forever part of the future. Jesus is turning things around again. Look at this. Today, tomorrow, and on the third day, I will complete my work, he says. However, it is still necessary for me to travel today, he said. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. That's a mystical thing to say. And on first glance, it's hard to understand what Jesus meant. But I want you to understand that Jerusalem is a pretty special place. Some of you have been there. But Jerusalem, the name itself, J-E-R-U and Salem, Jerusalem, means the city of peace. And if you know your history, you will know that Jerusalem, the city, has almost never been a city of peace. In fact, even today in modern times, it's divided into four quadrants for different religious faiths. That is a scattered city right there. There is a Jewish quadrant, a Muslim quadrant, a Christian quadrant, and an Armenian quadrant. And let's just say, in summary, that most of those people, sadly, don't get along very well. Jerusalem is not a city of peace. It's been destroyed again and again by Babylonians and by locals and by people throwing rocks at each other on the Temple Mount. It is sad to see a city which is such a prominent city in world history and in faith history and in world religions to be so torn by violence. Even now, but in Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago, and in times centuries before that, Jerusalem has been a place of striving. He says, in his lament, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I have wanted to gather you, to gather your people under me. Just like a hen gathers her brood, her chicks, under the protection of her wings. Jesus is speaking with love and compassion upon Jerusalem and all that it is, all that it means. How often is this not a beautiful motherly image of Jesus? We've got lots of fatherly images of God and Jesus, but this is a motherly image. How often I have wished to just gather you under my wings, like a mother hen would gather her chicks, for protection, for warmth, for safety. so they could have a safe place to grow. How often, he says, how often I have wanted to gather you and your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not have it. Look, now your house is abandoned. And I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. What did Jesus mean by that? He's talking about the entry into Jerusalem on the Sunday before Easter, the Sunday before he was crucified. Jesus is saying, when the crowd says, blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord, that's when to watch out, because that's when the end is coming. As we progress, as we rapidly fly through this Lenten season, we recognize that we are speeding toward Palm Sunday and Holy Week, Good Friday, and then ultimately the joy of Easter. But there's a lot of hurting to go between now and Easter. And in this passage, Jesus is saying, you won't see me again until I come into Jerusalem. In that what we call a triumphal entry, Jesus rode on the back of a donkey. There's not much triumphal about that. Triumphal would have been with guards and horses and swords and sword bearers. But Jesus comes in humbly on a donkey. Not a stallion, not a white horse, but a donkey. And today he tells these people, how I would love to carry you with me on toward the kingdom of God. How I would love to cherish you and hold you and protect you under my wings, but you don't want that. So look, your house is abandoned. And you won't see me again until that time when I come into Jerusalem. And you say with the crowds, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is talking about his work tomorrow. He says, go tell that fox, that Herod, look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people and helping people today and tomorrow. But on the third day, I will complete my work. Today, tomorrow, and yet something more to look forward to. Where Jesus says, I will complete my work. I will bring my people into the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom, where all is peace and hope, where all is grace, where all can be gathered under those wings of safety and protection and hope. There is a way being made, regardless of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus speaks of today, tomorrow, and the life to come after that. The third day, he says. What a great image. Let's talk about the third day. Let's talk about the day of resurrection, the day of heaven, the day of resting finally with God and living in God's peace, where in this life there has been no peace. There is hope. Believers, people of faith, there is hope. There is hope for someone, a Savior, who could redefine time and not just talk about the future, but life beyond the future. That's huge.